Well, good evening. Tonight, as we continue our series on prayer and the different aspects of prayer and the different kinds of prayers that we bring to God, as last week we lifted our prayers in all sorts of fun ways to God, this week we come to a little tougher of times as we come to talk about our confessional time of prayer with God. And so this evening I have two scriptures for you, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, to have balance in our lives. And so from the Old Testament, I bring you from the great book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter, the 13th verse, that says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." And our second reading this evening comes from the book of 1 John, the first chapter, the 9th verse, that says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, Stacy, I know you're the pastor. Oh, I don't like this.
You're going to get up here and talk? Man, I ain't got to use a microphone.
I know
that you're pastor and you're really busy and you're trying to do this service, but I can't stay in the pew anymore.
Okay.
I'm beginning first with Leah's prayer, and then these songs and these scriptures, I'm really feeling convicted.
Okay.
To confess.
Okay.
Okay. So for the last couple weeks at Youth Group, we've been talking about how we're called to be God's hands and feet and how we're called to make a difference, and thinking about those times when we have ignored that little voice in our ear or people that we may have seen on the street. And this has really been bothering me since last week. I came and I did my office hours on Thursday, and when I was going home, I decided to go through Jack in the Box because I was kind of hungry.
Okay.
So I did my order and I got up to the window, and the lady said, "Oh, that will be $3.25 or whatever it was. And she took my money and she gave me back my change and she kind of disappeared for a while. So I put my money away. And I continued listening to my music, and I see this gentleman walk in front of my car in the drive-thru. And then I didn't really see him, and she finally came back and gave me my food, and I put it on the seat, and I started to roll up my window as I was leaving the drive-thru, and then I saw him. And he went to tap on my window, and I kept driving. I had put my money away, so I didn't really want to stop and take it out. And I drove home just feeling horrible. He was calling me to do something, and I ignored it. And the whole theme of confession, just, I couldn't sit down anymore.
So you think that you sinned in that time? You didn't do anything wrong? Did you hate him? Did you use nasty words towards him?
No, but I felt God's call on my heart. And I rolled up my window, and I kept driving.
I think we kind of all have those moments.
True, but here I am, and I'm trying to make a good impression on these youth, and I just couldn't hold it back anymore. I had to share. I had to confess. And yes, you're my best friend, but you also have that clergy title, so there it is.
Well, okay, I think God can forgive you for that. Because it seems like it's really convicted your heart, that that's something that you really feel bad about, and knowing that if you could have, that you would have helped him, and if you would have had more time and everything else. And I really think that this is something that God does forgive you about. But you know, back if you're going to confess, that I might want to do the same as I try to be a good example to you.
Okay.
And yeah, we have those times where God wants us to be something and calls us to be something, and we just don't have it in us to fulfill what God wants us to be, and we kind of fall short of where God is. But I realize that I have some times where I really kind of miss the mark.
But you're a pastor, Stace.
But I'm not perfect.
Okay.
And I was thinking as you were talking, and I was realizing, okay, you know, there's all these commercials on TV right now from Toyota, and we got some great Toyota people here in our congregation, and these ones about being a good example to our kids and when we drive with our phones. And, you know, I was realizing that I do have those times when I text when I drive. That's not my confession.
Okay, how is that a sin, texting while driving?
Well, I was realizing, you know, I justify and I think, you know, I'm a really good driver, and it's just a moment that I take my eyes off the road down to my phone to quickly send something. I mean, information that's needed right now or to tell somebody something, and it's just for a moment. But I've had to sit and realize, you know, so much could happen in that moment.
Sorry.
In those 5 seconds that my eyes are off the road and onto my phone, anybody could run in front of me. Any car could stop suddenly. And in just that split second that my eyes are off the road, that something really tragic could happen. And I realized that sometimes that's the sins that we have. Sometimes that's the times that we're doing really good and we've got our eyes on God and we're doing just what God wants us to do. We're feeding that person in the drive-through line and having compassion and doing everything and being in church. But sometimes just for a second, we take our eyes off of God for something else that's right in front of us. And just in that moment, we can really have sin, that we can really stumble in that moment. Like, it feels like you're really stumbling with me right now, that I really want to pour out my heart to you, but
that phone seems
to be a little more important to you. I really kind of want to call that phone an idol at this moment.
But it's church business, so
despite
it's really
your
important.
Church business, you're my best friend, and I'm trying to tell you something, and here your eyes won't even leave your phone to see what I'm saying. Do you think that maybe if you do that with your phone to me, that maybe there's some idols you make that distract your eye from God, Miss Confession?
Okay, maybe. Maybe my phone gets in the way sometimes, but it's technology right here.
Okay, how about your general hospital?
Oh. But that's after I go to bed. That's
or
that's
your Facebook.
But it's important. Remember we were just talking about constant communication last week?
Yes.
And how important it is to be able to communicate constantly.
So fantastic, you're using that phone to talk to God.
Oh, okay, maybe not.
You're using General Hospital to give praise to God.
No, they're idols. They're idols, they get in the way. I'm confessing again, 2 times in one night. Take note. Are you perfect? You gotta have 2. Come on.
Okay. Idols I have. My phone is probably one of those. But I guess if we really dig, I gotta realize that most of the time it's not the stuff that gets in the way, but probably my pride. Me that has always tried to fit in and in guys' roles. I played Little League with the boys, and I did Boy Scouts, and wanting to prove that I could be just as good as them, which means me being able to say I can do it. I don't need help carrying that. I don't need help making this. I can do it myself, and sometimes I mess things up pretty bad when I don't ask for help, but I guess I probably do that with God, too, that problems come and things happen, and I get sick, or somebody I love gets sick, or I'm really struggling in a human relationship with somebody, or and all these things, and I know what I'm supposed to do is to take it to God. I know what I'm supposed to do is put it in God's hands and let God be there to handle it with me, but I think my pride says, I got to do this myself. I got to handle this. I got to figure out the way through this, and that pride becomes my stumbling block, my sin that prevents me from allowing God to love me and get me through that. Did we confess enough? It's not a really good feeling, but I have good news because I got a banana.
How is a banana good news?
Well, you told me it's got potassium, and yes. It's good for me. It'll make it so I don't have toe cramps, right?
Toe cramps, yes.
Okay, well, bananas I love because bananas, they are a delicious food in a portable form. I love making banana bread with them and smoothies.
Quite delicious, yes.
And I especially like to chop them up and cover them in peanut butter and chocolate and put them in the freezer and make little monkey bites out of them. And they're nutritious and delicious. But I've decided I don't want this one right now. Can you wrap it back up for me so it will save and not brown? You're Wonder Woman that can do anything.
Yes.
Can you?
Do you have any super glue?
I don't think I want to eat it after there's been super glue
in it.
Well,
I'll try to keep it on the peel. What about a needle and thread?
Won't that just leave brown marks all over it, Beck?
Maybe you're right.
I have a feeling we may have come up with an impossible situation.
Any engineers out there? Does anyone think they can help me?
Does anybody think they can put this banana back together?
Probably. See, I heard a second on the duct tape.
Is it zebra print duct tape?
Maybe.
Well, it absolutely is impossible to put this banana back together. And so oftentimes in our sins and our stumblings and our faults, it feels like our sin is like this banana, that we've done something we can't undone, that we've hurt God or we've hurt a friend or we've done something where we can't undo it.
But we do our best to make it pretty on the outside.
We try to sew it together. We think that duct tape will bind us back together in human love, but so oftentimes it feels like it's an impossible task to undo sin. But the beauty of grace of what we hear in our scripture is that it says grace puts us back together. That what it takes is for us to open our hearts and confess to God, not so that we feel bad, not so that we look bad, not to say, God, look how horrible I am, but that we spend time in confession so that through God's grace that God can heal us in our brokenness, that God can put us back together and put us whole through what Christ has done for us. You see, sin isn't about being guilty. Sin is about opening ourselves up to say, I need a Savior, and I need a Savior right now, and I have belief in the power of what the Savior can do. And so I humbly put all that I've done before you so that you can take it from me and I can be free to live the way that you desire for me to live. And there are times that we do break God's heart when we don't love God as much as we really could. And so we have a station in the back that's got red paint for us to take our hands and dip them with fists in the red and stamp them up, because if you do it better than I did, it will look like a broken heart, and give you a chance to pray as you put your hands up there, to pray where you've seen yourself breaking God's heart, and to give those times to God so that God can take them with you and that you can have healing in your heart. To think about those times that we do make idols, and I invite you to come forward and shape your idol. And it doesn't have to look exactly like your idol. You know what it is, and God knows what it is, and it doesn't matter if everyone else can recognize what it is. But to make that idol, and if that idol is something that you're willing to give to God, to say, God, I don't want this to be an idol anymore. I want this to be second to you. To be able to take that idol and smash it and to say, I, through God's help, have power over you, and I can put you in your place that's behind God. To realize there's some things that we want to let God know, but we don't want everybody else to know. That those are kind of those deeper ones. And to be able to put them on paper, to say, God, I want this bad enough to be in your hands that I'm going to put it on paper, but then to take that paper and quite loudly put it through the shredder, because sometimes sin and healing is a loud process. And to know that I have given it to God, and by God's healing grace, it's unrecognizable now. because that's what God does to our sins. To be able to realize that we do have prides that get in the way of us allowing God to be God in our lives, to have that full surrender in abandon. And so we have the cross up here in chalk to be able to put your prides down, to lay them before God and say, God, I want less of me and I want more of you, so that you can truly be my God and have control over my life and of my heart. And as always, we have our prayer station to be able to light candles if there's those that you need to be lifting, either your life or another life, to light a candle for and say, God, I need you present like this light in this life. And if you feel like you need to give an offering to God, we do have a basket that you can drop one to him. But this time is yours to spend putting your heart before God how you need to, whether you're one that needs to stay in your seat and just spend time there with God, or if you want to utilize the prayer stations to help you have a way to put your sins before God, to confess them, and then leave them in this place, and to be able to go after our music time, to be free in God's grace, to be who God has called you to be. This time is now yours and God's. Amen.